Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Just listened to another song about that verse from Psalm 21. We will sing and praise your power. And I was like, wow, power, powerhouse. That's powerful. This is episode 29. Powerhouse Podcast, Luther Beck coming to you from an undisclosed location in the heart of Appalachia. Been on a pause, been on a break, been on a little bit of a reset. We've got a baby on the way, so we sort of took a back burner approach to this podcast. And thank you to everyone who listens and who has been listening, and maybe anybody who has missed us in our little hiatus over the winter. But now we're back, and I have Jacqueline, my beautiful wife, in the studio. She's the one who has the baby on the way. And so, yeah, we're going to just do a little discussion, and I really felt strongly to bring her on to talk about this topic, about kind of maybe church and the misconceptions about what it is or what it's supposed to be. And even, you know, our admission to the fact that there's a big problem with it, many problems with it that we have observed in America and even just in Christendom. But hey, Jacqueline, what's up?
Hey there. Doing good.
Awesome. Well, as I said, we've got a bun in the oven. So how are you feeling with that? What's going on? Are you due? You're not due yet. No.
7.5 months pregnant, feeling huge and nauseous, but hanging in there and really excited to welcome the new baby into our family.
Yeah, that's making disciples right there. But anyways, thanks for hopping on here. We really want to make this show for an audience that is of all walks of life, or all religious views, basically, or non-religious views, whatever. People who might think, well, I hate God because I was raised Catholic and I was abused as an altar boy. Whatever. I mean, anybody. Or this could be for the youth pastor who thinks he's got it all figured out, but deep down knows that he doesn't. And maybe we'll say something that will, you know, set him free in a way. Just, you know, we're just being faithful with what we have learned, and we try to share things like that from our own experience and things that we've been taught by God and through His Word with anybody who will listen. That's kind of the basic thing here. But, you know, really about the church, you know, that's a negative word for a lot of people. And, you know, we want to kind of expose the fact that many of the things that we do in quote-unquote church or American church or Sunday morning church, it's not even really in the Bible. I mean, there's things like the church building. There's some confusion there about why people meet in a building. What is that about? The order of worship. There's a lot of things that have been added or even taken from paganism. If you're talking about liturgies and, you know, just the procession of walking down the red carpet and going into this place with pews and seats. And there's just a lot of things that we don't necessarily get right from the Bible, but we just accept them in the United States as that's what church is. Even things like the sermon, the paid clergy, the Sunday morning costumes, maybe we can talk about that, Jacqueline, just about, you know, how people are, they're ashamed to go because they don't have the right clothes and things like that. Like, to me, none of that stuff matters, but to a lot of people, they still have that mindset either of that it does matter or of that they're not going to be accepted because that's what's expected at church. So, anyways, yeah, there's been some abuses that need to be noted, even like denominationalism. And I don't know if anybody knows what that word means, but the splitting up of all these arguments and all these denominations, we find warning in Scripture against that clearly to the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So any comments so far, Jacqueline?
Well, I was just thinking about when you say the word church, what is church anyway? like from the Bible, what is the word church mean?
Yeah, well, there's a deeper word study to go into that that people that are smarter than me can do. But basically, I get the word ecclesia from my research, which tends to be more like a governing body within Christ's called out ones. So if you want to get into that, you know, Jesus came to set up a kingdom, and he called his followers out of the world system into his holy system or his kingdom. And so really, it should be a gathering together of people out of, you know, the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But if you go into the book of Acts, where the quote-unquote church is actually born, you know, it really was like a extended family of God, where people experienced God, and then they came together to worship God and to go out and bring other people the good news of God.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, you know, that there are elements of that we see. But like, just personally, we have issues with going to churches because, you know, we want to be around people. We want to worship God with people. And there's a lot about that we like. But just to be honest, there's a lot about it that just doesn't seem natural.
So I just want to back up for a minute. So whenever I asked you what church was, you basically said it's like a group of people that gather together rather than like a building with a structured agenda, kind of.
Oh, yeah, right. Right. So that's a good thing to point out. For me, a church is people, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's not even news to me, but it might be news to somebody out there. So yeah, biblically, church is not a place that you go, like a specific ministry that you go to.
Yeah. I mean, there are buildings that hold meetings for the church, but the building itself shouldn't technically be called a church, because that's like calling a school building like a teacher. Like, let's go to the teacher.
Or a student.
But you're actually going
let's
to...
Let's go to student instead of let's go to
you're
school.
You're actually going to the school building.
It,
because you're a body of students, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the church would be like, you're going to the building because you're a body of the church.
Right. So the word church became equal to the building or something. Like, I think maybe 100 years ago, somebody in some type of Catholic circle or something started saying the word go to church. But before then, no one had ever even said something like that before. Go to... It's like saying, you're my wife, I'm going to go to my wife, or go to my mom, or go to my dad. Like,
yeah.
It's a person. It's a group of people.
So like in the Bible, we read the letters, and the letters are to the churches. So it'll say like, to the church at Galatia, to the church at Colossae, to the church at Ephesus. You know, it's like to the church at this town. And it's a letter that's to the people who gather together in, you know, the same common mind of, you know, loving God and loving each other and loving their neighbors. So,
yeah.
Like, the letter is written to a group of people. And it's, you know, it's sent to someone's house because they used to meet in houses, like, for, you know, several hundred years. And I don't think it's necessarily or innately wrong to go to a church building or to have a meeting in a building that or a community center or... You know, you rent out, like, whenever, the first time I went to a church meeting, it was in a YMCA. Is it wrong that they had a building? No. It's not wrong. We're not saying anything that it's wrong because there's a building that's called a church building. We're just trying to talk about the differences of, like, what we see biblically and what we see in the Bible and what we experience, especially in America, because it's not only like this in other countries, like... A lot of church gatherings in other countries are, like, in a field or, you know, in houses or other, like, in coffee shops.
So you should say, if the church means the people, you should say, not let's go to church, let's go to meet with the church.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be technically right, but I don't think that we're actually going to change that. I think that
Well, I'm not
it's so
splitting hairs with
ingrained
that.
in, it's so ingrained in us as Americans that we even say it
I feel like
sometimes.
go to church almost sounds like you're going to a concert or going to a movie, which is kind of how it's set up. In a sense, there is an entertainment part of it, especially like in the megachurch world where you literally have smoke and glitter and all kinds of, big screens everywhere, and it's almost like a rock concert at a lot of places, but
Yeah, I feel like we could talk about the structure next instead of just the wording. Because, for some reason, the structure can kind of throw off the whole thing. Like, if the structure isn't biblical, then a lot of other aspects of it are going to immediately be kind of canceled out. Like, so if you think about the structure of the church meeting and the church building and what we see and how it differs from the structure of the church gatherings in the Bible and in the early beginnings, like I'm thinking about like Jesus being the head. And I think it's in Ephesians where it talks about Jesus is the head and all of the people are submitted under him in equality. And the Holy Spirit is the leader of the church meetings. And everybody is filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God that you receive into your spirit when you come to the Lord and want Him to be your God, and ask Him to fill you with His Spirit and His presence. So, in the biblical kind of structure, in that sense, like I said, Jesus is the head. We're all submitted to him and we're all submitted to one another in love and we're all equals and the Holy Spirit is the leader and the Holy Spirit gives the group of people all specific and different giftings. Like some of us are gifted, like, pastors or shepherds or counselors, of each other to help build each other up in that way. Others are more gifted in evangelism or really wanting to go out into the city, into the community, and really just love on the neighbors and the community and just, really be a part of that.
so somebody
And then
organizing it
other
isn't.
people are gifted in what you say is like the gift of prophecy, which is where we really hear clearly straight from the Holy Spirit, and we can share what the Lord is saying to the group of people. And there's other giftings, but like when it's like a gathering of people who are all submitted equally to the Lord and to each other, and the Holy Spirit's the leader, and it's in a kind of like a relaxed setting, or even in a church building, if the structure was correct, then you really see not only the truth of God, not only the presence of God, but the power of God also active, where we can hear clearly from God, where we can hear clearly from God together, where we can help each other on whatever personal needs there are. And where it's not necessarily going to be 300 people, but with less people, then it's going to feel more intimate. Like we're going to all know each other more intimately. We're going to know what we're walking through, what we're going through. And then also I see in this like smaller living room setting, if someone needs help paying a bill or buying groceries, then someone else is gonna feel that they're responsible because that's your people, Or if someone is sick and they need prayer, then we feel responsible to carry each other's needs when it's on a smaller, more intimate setting. But I think that or if someone's struggling with sin or they need marriage problems, then we all just care for each other,
Let me
And
pause you for a second. You didn't say anything in all of that about dressing in suits.
no, well,
Like people, or dressing in a really pretty dress and having your hair done professionally. Like you didn't say anything
yeah,
about that.
that, well, no, that part used to kind of stress me out. And like every time that I would invite someone to go to church with me, their first question was, what should I wear? And that's so kind of telling of the culture that we live in and what how we perceive church everything like that. I'm like, actually, sometimes there were a couple different churches that our family literally, we felt like we could not go. Because it was specifically their culture in that church was to dress really nice. Actually, I'm thinking of three specific churches where I would feel like we weren't even... I mean, the people would be nice and say, hey, come on in. But, like, obviously, there was times in our life where we literally didn't have dress clothes for everyone in our family, especially our children, you know, when the girls were really little and they would run around and climb trees and you know, like, they didn't... And also, like, sometimes our girls don't like dresses. Like, they like pants. And so just trying to even dress differently and... Anyway,
our point is that that doesn't come from Scripture. Scripture never says dress nice when you meet together, right? It just says meet together.
Right. Anyway, that can be a little bit uncomfortable for some people. But if you just go to a friend's house, you're not like too worried about what you're wearing, right? Like if you're going to a friend's house and like your, you know, 4-year-old just got a bunch of yogurt on her shirt, then yeah, change your shirt. You know, like we're going to a friend's house. Let's change your shirt first. But it's not stressful. Anyway, what I was saying was about, like, the intimate group setting that we prefer and experience. I was thinking about the needs of the people who go and how, like, no one is necessarily overlooked in that way. Like, if someone is crying during the Bible reading or during the music praise worship section, we're going to notice... And then we're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit, see if how we can pray to that person, talk to that person, ask them what's going on. We're like, so, like, there have been many, many times where I would be sitting in the back of a church just crying the entire time, you know, and no one came over and asked if I was okay.
Well, because you're also sitting in like rows, and like I said, there's nothing wrong if you have to have a huge meeting sometimes sitting in chairs or whatever, but I did read a book that told how that came about, is, you know, putting it in like a theater type of format. It was like in the Constantine era, and everything was really professional because there was a king going to the church and he wanted to be, you know, in the front row and everything. So all that stuff, none of that stuff functions well. And it's not biblical in the first place. So like she's saying, if it's more of a family, an extended family of people who are coming together to worship God together, it's like you said, the structure kind of kills the flow of making that family what it should be.
Yeah, and like, for example, I was talking about if someone's crying in your living room, you're going to notice and you're going to care and you're going to talk to them about it and you're going to be there. But like, if you're... just kind of blending in with, you know, several hundred other people, then necessarily you might not necessarily get any help unless you schedule a meeting with the pastor or with the prayer team, or you have to go up to the very front. It's like, who wants to go up to the very front in front of like 300 other people when they're crying? Like, that's embarrassing to do that in front of 300 people. You know what I mean? To get prayer from the prayer team, which they're all standing up front right by the stage. And it's like, okay. And then, so I was just thinking about how in the like traditional church setting, I've often experienced like the brokenhearted not being mended, not being ministered to, maybe the hungry not being fed, the orphan not being adopted or cared for, the needy not given, you know, sharing the financial provision of the group. And so if it's a church meeting where all those things are left undone, like the brokenhearted not being mended and the orphan not being adopted or cared for, and the people who have marriage problems continuing to have those problems, like I said, unless you like schedule a meeting with the pastor or something like that, but like that's okay to do. I mean, we've scheduled meetings with pastors and got help too, but
there's only usually like one or two pastors for a whole entire.
I know, how can they take care of that many people? We're all supposed to be caring for one another, you know. And we've, you know, met people in the churches too where they maybe are still living in a way where the Lord isn't, it's not his ways. And like part of the church gathering is to build up one another in God's ways. So we could be like, you know, I see that you're still having this in your life, and I just want to encourage you.
Well, there's not even any time to talk. Usually it's a structured, scheduled, like you have the bulletin, and it's like, you know, music, and then the preacher, and then they do this, and then they announce that, and then they do this, and it's not, there's no roundtable discussion.
Everyone usually shows up really early, or maybe 5 minutes early if they want to grab a coffee, drop off their kids at the, you know, daycare or Sunday school, and then, yeah, you're sitting there, and you listen to the announcements and the songs and the sermon and then maybe another song, and then
you don't get to
pick up your kids
usually,
and then everyone runs off to lunch. So it's not, it's like difficult to have an intimate setting, and like the only way you can really have that intimacy is if you, I guess, do other things like
life groups. People really
life groups
about that.
Or Sunday schools or volunteer to make coffee or something. But go ahead.
I think it's a mixed, I told this to a pastor one time. I said, I think it's a mixed meeting where you have the guy on the pulpit and he's preaching to 300 people or 1,000 as if they're all super mature believers. Like they've all gone to seminary and they understand, you know, the gospel already. So they usually skip the gospel in the talks because they just assume everybody's already a Christian or whatever.
That's another problem.
But then I told this pastor, I said, you should almost have one meeting for the, you know, the believers who are strategizing together on how to go deeper and how to reach the lost or whatever. And then you should have another meeting where it's open to people who are straggling in from the streets that you're hoping will just pop in and hear the gospel. Because in a sense, it's just mixed together. You want people to come in, but they're scared to come into a weird church they've never been to. And no one's going out there and like explaining to them in their own house or in their own context about the Lord. We're just hoping for people to show up to these churches that with stained glass windows where people already think that it's kind of like intimidating or whatever. And then the people who are in there are just supposedly already Christians, but a lot of the times they're not. A lot of times they're you know, they're needing to hear the gospel and they're not.
Yeah, for some reason I also feel like the structure kind of like makes people realize not realize that like everyone who's sitting there also needs to be the one to just be responsible for caring for their neighbor and sharing the gospel with whoever it is that God brings into their life who needs to hear it. Because like we used to invite people to church all the time. We were doing great, you know, always having a different person with us. And then we realized we'd be sitting there like, oh, I hope they share the gospel. And then they never did. So I'm like, dang it, this person has come to church with us like 3 or 4 times and they still haven't heard the gospel. And then I realized, oh, I need to be the one to share the gospel with this person. Like, why am I waiting for the pastor to do everything? And it's not even the pastor's fault. It's just the structure makes you feel like, oh, you got to bring someone to church. But that's not even true. Like, that's not how. And most people say no. Like, they don't want to go to church. And I totally understand.
So then there's two different angles here. There's the church itself who I feel like if you lose your main mission, which isn't just to become a member of a church and just sit in a chair and listen to a guy, but the main mission of the church is to be like an ecclesia, like a governing body for the kingdom that permeates the world and goes and spreads and multiplies and becomes new groups and new churches and new families and adding to, you know, every day. Because of the power of God, because of the gospel, and because of the transformative message that we are supposedly carrying, you know, it's all stale or dead or whatever, and the structure kills it, like you're saying. And then there's the issue of, you know, people being, you know, hurt by foul abuses in the churches, which is why they don't want to come in and they have a bad taste in their mouth. And statistically, there is no growth of people, of new people coming into a church and getting saved. Now, I'm not talking about the one or two that happens, you know, every once in a while, miraculously. Praise God for that. You know, where the guy who's a terrible sinner goes in and just gets wrecked by the Holy Spirit in a church service. Praise the Lord. But, you know, generally the statistics are on a huge decline to where, you know, nobody in my generation and lower would even consider going to a church to find spiritual needs met.
Yeah,
you know?
I never considered it. So I don't know. I just want to like kind of summarize what we're saying here because we've gone on a lot of different discussions. And I don't want to offend anyone who loves going to church because I used to love going to church. And there's a lot of wonderful people who go to church, a lot of wonderful people who are serving in the church, and a lot of churches who actually are doing great things. You know, they have food banks, they reach out to, they start ministries like homeless shelters or, like I said, food banks or caring for women who and children who need help to get out of a really toxic situation, or you know, they donate to, you know, local organizations who need funding, who are nonprofits, who are serving the community, you know. And then there's also some churches who have really strong, like, youth programs to where they get the youth together every week, and then they build, like, a really tight social circle for the teenagers. And teenagers really need that. They need something to do and somewhere to go so that they can kind of stay out of trouble. So, no, they do a lot of great things, but we're just talking about, like first of all, the word church and how we use it in our common day language and how it actually is in the Bible. And then we kind of touched on the structure of the church and how we see it in our current country expressed, versus how it is in the Bible and what we prefer to experience in the small, more intimate living room settings. And then we talked about a little bit of like the expectations, like what are you supposed to wear? How are you supposed to act? What are you supposed to do? And we talked about a little bit how a lot of the people's needs can be overlooked because it's just, there's the program and there's the, like, you know, too many people altogether, and like the people can get overlooked and the needs can become unmet. So is there any other kind of,
I just want to read some scriptures because, you know, we have experienced glimpses of like living, active, like vibrant fellowship with the Lord and with each other. And I think a lot of the people just haven't. They haven't, like, for example, we moved in with a bunch of people where we were part of a project that was a lot about missions and a lot about evangelism. And so we actually kind of lived in the same property with like 200 people at one time. And we had to learn how to love each other and cook with each other and live with each other. And it wasn't just like, oh, I'll see you next Sunday when you look pretty again and when your teeth are all brushed and everything like that. And so we've seen another side of it. And we've also seen, like Jacqueline said, the spirit of prophecy erupt in meetings where like God himself is actually like talking to you in the meeting. And it isn't just about, you know, the pastor's sermon or whatever. So it is hard to kind of go back to just like, okay, fake smile and, you know, everything's fine and the coffee, and then you go back to lunch after church and then it's over, you know. And I think that's part of my issue, is that it should never be over. You don't change into, you know, worship mode on one day a week for 2 hours and then change back into your normal mode. The church is supposed to be the body of Christ. So we don't turn it off, so to speak. But in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, God says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." He's talking about these religious duties that they're performing. "When you come up here before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. New moons and Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies I cannot deal with," or I can't stand. I cannot stand iniquity in the solemn assembly. "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead the cause of the widow." So that's part of God's heart there in the Old Testament to just the religious ceremonies like but they're missing the main point, which is to actually care for one another. And that's what we see so much. Like Jacqueline said, not in all churches, but man, overwhelmingly people have a bad taste in their mouth about people being hypocrites or not really loving one another. And that's just what we want to speak against, and we want to apologize for, and we want to cast vision of what our vision is that it can be way different. There's another scripture in John 13 that says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so really love is... Okay, the movie's over for our kids. If you have love for one another, so that is really the basis of what God wants us to be known for, is love. And if we're not loving one another and we're getting lost in the crowd because of whatever, because of how we kind of fell into these traditions of men that God never commanded us to do, then we're being a really poor reflection of the church. And why would anybody want to join something like that? So we have to work extra hard to undo the bad taste that's in people's mouth and show them, no, look, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says in John 8, he said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." So this isn't even just, you know, the history of the church or, you know, the way that the church has always done it or the way that my denomination says that it should be done. He's saying, if you stay in my word, if you abide in, you know, what my word says, and the word is the Bible, you know, and we have everything that we need in there. Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray. There's very little prayer actually happening on, you know, Sunday morning church. Some churches do more than others, but usually it's just a few seconds, just as a transitional kind of thing, you know, pray a little bit and then, you know, it's just sort of, doesn't really show the power of God. And then there's the cost of discipleship where, you know, if you're inviting people into this thing, they really need to know what they're getting themselves into. You don't just go into a church and then you're just hearing stuff and it's just expected that you know what it's about. So once again, like what Jacqueline said, if it was in a more intimate setting where people knew each other, this is what we really love. We really love when everybody gets to share. The Bible talks about everybody bringing a psalm, everybody bringing a hymn, everybody bringing a word or a question or a teaching, and everybody else being able to weigh what is said. That also helps with a lot of the abuses in the church where, you know, one guy or two guys, they're just expected to be, you know, perfect, and everything they say is just gospel. And they could be doing false teachings or, you know, deceptive, manipulative things where they're using the word of God and they're kind of twisting it to be some doctrine that isn't good at all. And because everybody just sits there quietly and then leaves, there's nobody talking about it or testing it or, you know, there's no roundtable discussion there. So, well, I just lost my co-host. She went to go handle with the kids. I'll just mention one more thing that really bothers people is the money thing. Oh, the church is just after money. Of course, there's been a million abuses, televangelism and whatever, and send this amount here and you'll get a blessing, or pay this amount and you'll get healed, or whatever it is. Of course, all that is to be rejected. We do not align ourselves with Christianity in those ways where, you know, it's been abused. And there is a true undefiled religion, which it talks about in the book of James, you know, to visit the needy and the orphan and the widow. So it really is about relational love for one another and inviting people into a supernatural kingdom that's never going to end. This church that we're talking about is a body of people, and it's connected to God himself. And so God himself is eternal, and he's invited us into a family that will go on and on and on and on. That's what the whole thing is about, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him won't die, but will receive eternal life. And so we really need to repent, guys, if we're in the church, whether it's a bad church or not, you know, whether it's a church who has pushed out, you know, the outcasts and you know, made fun of people or made people feel unwelcome or not, we still need to repent as a whole for just the way that the American church is going. And I thought we would have woken up a little bit more after COVID-19 when God kind of showed us, like, you know, you guys weren't prepared for this. What you're doing is not really going to last in the way, in the form that you're doing it. What worked in the 80s, you know, isn't working now, you know. And so there are some big changes that we need to make, and that's why I'm speaking out about it. But back to the money thing, the tithing, you know, give your 10%, give your 10%, give your 10%. Well, actually, God asks us to give everything. The cost of discipleship is, you know, to forfeit your own life to gain your soul, to you know, devote yourself to the one who made you, to be humble and say, Lord, you know, take all of me. There's nothing left of my pride. I need you. I'm surrendered to you and your plan 100%. And technically, if you want to get into tithing, that is not biblical either. And you can look up a lot of teachings about that where tithing is actually in the Old Testament, and it has to do with many different types of tithing. And a lot of it has to do with actually helping the poor, not just paying the salary of, you know, or keeping the building or keeping the lights on in the building and all of that. So guys, thank you for listening. I know this kind of just stirring the hornet's nest again, but I really just felt like, you know, we have felt so uncomfortable in churches, and we're believers. So what about people who are unbelievers? It just seems like we need to do something way different and meet people where they are. And if we're going to gather together as mature believers, we need to do that in a way that everybody can talk and everybody can be heard as well. Guys, I want to say to you, all of you who are hearing this, that we love you. And we do want you to understand that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one can come to the Father but through him. So you don't even have to, you know, go through a priest or a pastor. You can tell him right now, I don't understand everything, but I know that I need God. And you begin to read his word for yourself, and you begin to ask God to send you the right people to help you on your journey. Because you are very special. You are very unique. You have value. I value every person made in the image of God. And, you know, that's something that, you know, the witches and the New Agers also say to people when they're kind of recruiting people. They say, oh, you're so gifted. You're so special. And that's the thing. You know, it's like a human trafficker or a predator, a sexual predator, telling a beautiful girl that hey, you're pretty. Well, that's obvious. We already know that, you know, that you already are pretty. And the devil takes advantage of truths that are obvious and then exploits them for his own gain. So you are special. You know, you already are. And you don't have to go into the occult or into magic or into something else because the church has turned you off. There's a real God who created you in his image. And that's why you have value. And that's why you're gifted. And you just need to find... the true path. So yeah, man's religion and traditions have sort of perverted the simplicity of the road that Jesus really calls us to, which is a lot more like what Jacqueline was saying. You know, family, everybody being able to tend to one another and build each other up and love one another and be free to express your own giftings and your own callings in that context of meeting together, which is, you know, just a way better way to do church. So, honey, do you want to say anything else before we wrap it up? She's good. I think she said her piece there. But yeah, guys, so anyways, we're sorry. We repent for the abuses that have gone on in church. Jesus warned the Pharisees that, the teachers of the law and the religious leaders, that they were doing all these things and that it was nowhere in the Word of God. He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, but their teachings are merely human rules." He says that they have let go of the commands of God for man's tradition. And so, a lot of these things that we're seeing in church, let's just be over with it. Okay, a lot of the things and the forms that are uncomfortable, it's probably because it's not the natural way that God meant for his family to form and to spread and to multiply. And in a sense, it actually stops it and quenches it. So it's okay to meet together, but let's pray. I'll pray right now that if somebody's seeking fellowship or community or even to learn more about God, that he would lead them to the right people. God, I just pray right now that you would help us to reformulate the way that we view God and the body of Christ and the church, and that we would give you another chance because there is a true way and there is a true blessing, and it's a supernatural place to be where you're gathering together and you're worshiping the living God together, and people are telling stories about what God has been doing in their life, and the power of God and the Spirit of God is present and moving and operative, and there's love and there's joy. It talked about that in the book of Acts, Lord, that people were filled with joy and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and there was miracles happening and people were being added daily to the number of those who believed. And so we just pray for that again, Lord. We pray for a revival amongst the people in the churches, in the sleepy churches, in the dead churches, or even in the abusive churches. Let them repent. And for the people who are spiritually seeking and searching, I pray that you would send them somebody to help them, and that you would send them to us, and that you would send us to them, and that you would help people to find God, that they would, find a Bible and dust it off and open it up and give you a chance, and that they would be able to forgive those who have hurt them, or even the people who have cheated them, or like televangelists who maybe lied or something like that, that we would be able to just start fresh and understand that there is a way to do meetings together that grows faith and that expands the kingdom of God into a hurting world. So just give us that strategy, Lord, and bless everyone who's listening in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, there's some other ones too that I did back in the archives. One's called Bad Religion. Some of the other ones talk about the gospel. So go and listen to the other shows. This might become a theme where we just kind of try to shoot straight, tell people the things that we're thinking about and that we're learning, and then try to, impart that inspiration to others as we continue to have these conversations. So God bless you. Remember, you're a loved one. And you are needed in this thing we call life. There's a future for us in God, and nobody loves you more than he does. Blessings.